Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. More than a feeling, Jesus said it in his word. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Oh, yes, he will. Our Lord, our God, will make things all right every single time. And if you are not feeling that way right now, I want you to know that is the purpose for this show. So stay tuned in, because by the end, I want you to be all right. This is Don't Give Up Radio Show. I am your host, Jackie Wayans. So glad to be with you here another week. And we have another special guest with us this week, Deborah Hightower. She is someone who started off in a very small town to become a financial planner, speaker, author, and singer. Her journey has carried her from the small town and the small beginning into places like the White House and Carnegie Hall. And so I'm really thankful to have you here today to share your journey with us and to share not only the ups, with the downs. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity, and I really am thankful about this show. The topic allows it to be so broad that I can play any genre of music and speak to people from any part of the world. And I think your story will definitely speak to both young and old alike. And you know, even as I was doing the introduction, what's very clear is that you're a woman of many gifts and many talents. And I'm curious to know, you know, with your love for music and all that you've done, was it always written in stone for you? Were you always clear that that was going to be your path? What was your beginnings like? Talk to us a little bit about your upbringing.
Well, I think like most people, you think that your path is clear, crystal clear, and it's clear as mud as you start on that journey. And I think the most important thing to any and all of my message is the three words that sum up your show: don't give up. It doesn't matter what we're going through or what we've been through or where we're headed, don't give up, because it will not usually be just a straight shot. And music has always been part of my life, from a teeny little thing, singing Jesus Loves Me at 3 years old in church for the first time, and learning, beginning to learn to play piano at four. That was really where my basis started. And you know, like so many of us, I stayed with my grandmother while my parents worked, and it was singing the church hymns in the kitchen while she was cooking that sort of made that foundation. You know, it's those traditional hymns that, you know, that you just can't really replace, even in the contemporary music that we have to now. There's just some that just always seem to stick. And that's really where it started. And I would sing to her and practice and learn the words and all of that, you know, with her.
You know, that is such a precious memory. I think so many can connect to that. There's something about grandmas, if you had the pleasure of having a grandma in your life, and I too had a wonderful grandma who would pray over me and sing those same hymns like you're talking about. And I remember her laying one hand on the radio and the other hand on my forehead as the preacher would pray. And those are some precious times that you don't forget. They really get in the core of who you are. And you're right. When as you were speaking, I just could get that flashback moment of being in that very safe place with grandma. And as we grow and as we evolve, as we come into our preteen and teen years, it is very clear that I've had guest after guest on the show, and you know, we change. We start to evolve. And in your case, you started to think that maybe there were more important things to life than just going to church and you know, doing what you had been doing. Talk to us about that time in your life.
Yeah, you know how it happens, you know, when you, you know, the innocence of a child, when your world is so contained and everything and everybody around you is meant for your good. And then you get all of those outside influences that, and certainly today that is true. It was true when I was a kid, but really today, you know, you get the outside noise and you have so many influences that don't always wish well upon you. So, and of course, although it's different now, it was the same then. You know, the impact of it and the way it is a little different now. But the same thing basically happened then. You know, you get out in the world, quote, the world, meaning school, and you have influences from others. And I think a very pivotal time in my life is when I was in sixth grade, auditioned for the junior high choir. And when I auditioned for the junior high choir, I was put with the senior high choir and the show choir. So my contemporaries immediately became juniors and seniors in high school. And even though I had been mature as a child, because I was an only child and really expected to act like an adult, when you take a child that's sixth grade going into seventh grade, and then you put her or him with the, it starts changing. So for me, it was like, I mean, why the heck should I care about seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth grade when I can just sort of catapult from sixth grade into 11th and 12th grade contemporaries. So while I did have the musical ability to do that, I'm just not sure. And looking back, of course, you know, this is 2020 now, but then it was not as clear as it is now. But when you put yourself in that circumstance, in my mind, I thought that I was them and their age. And, you know, my attitudes started changing, and I wanted to be, quote, grown up like them. So
right.
They became my friends, you know, because we
Definitely.
Become who we are listening to and who we hang out with.
Right,
so,
and it doesn't even mean that it was negative, but it was definitely
right.
Well beyond your age range. And I believe,
right.
Like myself, also you're an only child on top of all of this, right?
Right, right.
So you're
and, you know, all children are expected,
yeah.
Right, expected to act grown up, you know, have adult conversation all the time. And you know, you just sort of go along that path. And the second part of that equation came when my friends that were 11th and 12th graders graduated, and I was still there.
Mm.
So that had a lot to do with my thinking. So I got pregnant, dropped out of school when I was 16, and had a baby, and, you know, and life goes on. So it was a matter of regrouping.
Right, right. But you know, I just want to sit on that for a moment because, you know, and I'm sure parents who are listening or young people who are listening who are in that circumstance and you wonder, you know, how did I get there at that particular moment in time? And parents wonder, you know, I did everything right. You know, I had her in church all the time and we were praying for her and praying with her. How did your parents cope with this? How did they handle it?
I think it would be an understatement to say that they were not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Shocked, not happy, you know, supportive, but not happy. And I think just in my own role as being a parent, there are times when you're not happy. You're not going to leave your child. Certainly, I never left mine and would never. You may have to listen to me preach for a while, but I'm going to always have your back.
And
I think that that's where some parents go wrong. I just don't think you can kick your kids out because nobody is perfect. Granted, some mistakes are bigger than others, but no one is perfect. And I think that that we have to remain supportive. Now, of course, there is that love thing that has to be implicated and executed, if you will, but. But for the most part, I think the support has always been there for me and my girls. I will, you know, be the same with them. It's not going to get them around my sermons, but I'm going to always be there to support them. And my parents were the same way.
Well, that's fabulous to know. But it didn't stop the fact that you ended up choosing to kind of live with friends and live on your own and going that course. So when did you begin to realize that your decisions were probably not the best?
Well, you know, about a week or two into some situations, you know that this is probably not the best decision. So relatively a short period of time, you think, oh, gosh, how in the world did I get here and how am I going to move past this? And I am an optimistic glass half full kind of person and really always have been. So even with all of the things that could have derailed and my attitude and ambition and all of that, I never really concentrated or focused on the bad side, the glass half empty, but always on the glass half full. So I thought, you know, this is just not really working the way I thought that it would, so we need to move to another plan. So in all of that, got my GED, enrolled in college classes, had a couple of little jobs and, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, that sounds fantastic, and I want to get to that, but I also want the people to hear a little bit of your music, and you have wonderful track called You Showed Me, and I think
that song
so perfectly to the transition point we're at here, where you are, you know, facing these trials, but you're about to rebound, and only God can show us the way out of that.
That's right.
There was no light, and I couldn't see. Storm clouds over me. There was no love, and I couldn't find someone to call mine. Then I saw your smile, and it moved my heart right from the start. Won't you put your arms around me? You showed me love, 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 love. You showed me love. You showed me joy, 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 joy. You showed me joy. Love, love.
She said, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. That's Deborah Hightower, and it's You Showed Me. You're listening to Don't Give Up Radio, and just in case you missed the first few minutes, we've been sharing with Deborah in terms of her life as a talented young woman who sings for the Lord, and during her early days found herself pregnant at 16 and dropping out of high school. And now we're at a point in your life where you're living on your own or living with friends. And I'm sure there were moments in time where it didn't look that good. And we know the Lord turns it around for you. But we want to kind of settle in that moment for a time. And I'm wondering if you could just provide a few examples of some of the trials, some of the potholes. What did that look like for you?
Well, you know, when you are trying to figure out a life plan and get yourself together and you realize that you really aren't qualified to do anything because the education is not there, there is no experience. You know, life experience will get you some things where education won't, but it really is very limited when you are 16 and 17 and 18 years old. And you know, my whole dream was so much bigger. My life dream was so much bigger than just getting along and getting by. And I think sometimes it's so easy to settle into just, well, this is all I can be, and so I'm just going to be it. But I think T.D. Jakes says it best when he says, you know, whatever you do it with all you have. And I've always sort of had that attitude. So even though it wasn't the, you know, working little jobs here and there, I always did the best that I could do wherever I was. And with that attitude, you know, it just, attitude fuels attitude. So, and because I am a glass half full kind of girl, I was always looking beyond what the situation was right that moment. Because, you know, if you get caught up in, in thinking and looking at only what is happening right before your very eyes that you can see, it can be mm-hmm. very daunting because you think, yeah. my goodness, I'm not going to ever get past this. But if we sort of look beyond our circumstance right now, and I think that was one of the things that that helped me, got back involved in church because, you know, I was raised that way. I'd been to Bible class and Sunday school and all of that stuff my whole life. And even in the times when it wasn't, when I wasn't in church every week and wasn't even really thinking about the godly way, those things still were in my heart. And mm-hmm. the Bible even says, what you teach a child, you know, they won't go apart from it for a long period of time because they will come back. And I think right. that's what sustained me. I really do.
Wow. Yeah, they're definitely, you're absolutely right. You've got to keep your eyes focused on where you want to be and where you want to go and think about how you're going to get there, because indeed life is going to give you a series of events that are going to make you think, you know, this is just too hard. I can't go on. And I want to just throw in the towel, but you can rebound. And the greatest first step to doing that is giving your heart, your life, your mind to the Lord. And I always say on this show, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. It's not a question. It's a definite. And so it starts there with putting that trust in him. And so you came to that place where you went back to him and you started that relationship again, you know. And even as you were talking about settling, you have a wonderful quote that I want you to share. I know it's not your own, but it's that you say it's so great about, you know, the greatest human temptation. Can you share that with us?
Oh, yes. That's Thomas Merton. And he said, the greatest human temptation is to settle for too little. And in my book, the best-selling book, The Secret to Winning Big, I use that quote because I am all about going big. It's almost like go big or go home. And even if you're in a pothole right this moment, you know, or have fallen over in the ditch, I mean, we have to think past our current circumstance, because the Bible says, and if you believe in one part of the Bible, you have to believe it all. It's sort of an is or an ain't kind of thing. You know, either you do or you don't. It's not the middle. You know, you pick one, yes or no. And Jeremiah 29:11 is one of my favorite verses. For I know right. the plans I have for you, and yes. and the plan. It doesn't say the plans I have for you is to leave you in a pothole or the ditch. It says. Right. I know the plans I have for you. It's plans to prosper you and not harm you, and plans to give you hope in a future. So I think without that hope, without those things that had been sown into my life that over the years, even at that young age, I knew that God had a plan for me. And it was a matter of getting it together and revisiting what that plan was, because the plan never changed. I changed. I veered off the path, but the plan right. was always there, and the plan was to prosper and give hope for a good future. And, you know, I think we have to think about that stuff, regardless of what our circumstances are right that moment, and that's really what got right. me through. And I worked
well,
out, you know. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm curious about that because I think that is the point that stumps a lot of us, because we do see that hope, that dream. We are reaching for something. And many people come back to the church, they come back to God, but they still have their consequences from the poor decisions that they've made. And they don't know what to do next. So how did you get on track? What were the things that you did? How did you put one foot in front of the other?
I really think you have to have some soul-searching time and say, okay, what is it that I'm good at? What would I like to do? What would I like to be good at? And why would anybody care? What contribution am I going to make? Can I make? Should I make? that would help me and help other people as well. Because I tell you, there were a couple of years that I worked in the textile industry. And every day when I went to that job, and this is so funny too, because way back then, if you're making $300 or $400 a week, that was a lot of money. That was a lot of money. And so the money part of it, even it was in textile industry, and anybody could really do it. If you could learn how to do anything, you could really do this. But that kind of money at that time, you really paid for childcare, paid for everything that I needed, everything my child needed. But every day when I went to that place, in my mind, I would say, I am here right this moment. And I'm going to make the best of where I am, and I'm going to make all the money that I can make, and I am going to make a plan. Because we are all gifted, and we have more than one gift and talent. I believe those are plural words, the gifts and talents. And I knew that I had music. I knew I could play the piano. I knew that I could write, even though writing didn't come until later on. I did know that I could write. And so it's just that introspection that say, okay, now, Deborah, we got to get this together and we have to make a plan. Because if we keep doing the same thing over and over, expect result, we all know that that is the definition of insanity.
Yes.
Right.
Definitely.
So we have to have that come to Jesus with ourselves, basically, and say, okay, this is where I am. This is what I know I can do, and this is how I'm going to get there. And every day I made one little step getting closer. It was saving my money. It was researching college classes. It was how I was going to work all of that out with a baby and get to class, and how was I going to make all of that work. And when we have a plan, it will work. And I worked a couple of jobs. I actually was...
Hold on, Jeff, for a second. We're getting some strange tones from you. Hold on a moment. Let's post your song and see if we can figure that out.
Sweet as the morning dew, your grace and mercy brand new. Touched by the rain, your beauty remains the same. Worthy of all my honor, worthy of all my praise. Sweet
Technical glitch there, but we're still with you. Deborah, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Wonderful. So we're just going to pick up from where we were because, you know, God reveals to us who He is when we start to seek Him out. And even as you decided to have a plan, and in that plan, you're seeking God's face, you know, you also talked to me about Habakkuk 2. And how many people talk about the wait being over, but they don't often talk about Habakkuk 2:3. Share with us about that.
Right. And, you know, everybody always says, have a plan, write it down, make it plain. And that's 2:2. And then 2:3 is at the appointed time. That's when the wait is over. And I think that we... I think there is value into walking the path, because I know for me, even though I was not where I wanted to be, it helped me get there, you know, and I'm not sure that we ever really arrive, because for me, I know that I don't want to settle for too little. And what is too little? I think anything that keeps us from moving forward to the next thing is too little. So even in the times when I had two jobs and finally left the textile industry you know, making long money with $300 or $400 a week to running a multi-million dollar financial planning practice. Have I arrived? No, because there is still so much to do and so much to share. So I think when we allow God to, things will work out at the appointed time.
Well, you know, I think that you just released something huge there, especially in terms of mindset of what's possible. So let's go back a little bit. So you were working in a textile company the last time we talked, and here you are, you're talking about running a multi-million dollar company. So how did that transition happen? What was that first job that got your foot in the door to make things happen?
After I had left the textile industry, worked for the attorney for a year or two, and really got acclimated to the business world, the real business world, and then went from there to E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton, of course, was this stellar financial planning firm at the time, the brokerage industry. Everyone knew who E.F. Hutton was, and got my foot in the door there and practically had to beg for the job because, you know, really I wasn't qualified, but I had favor on my life. So I was at the bottom of the totem pole. And when I say bottom of the totem pole, I mean barely on the bottom of the totem pole. An eighth of an inch more and I wouldn't have even been on the totem pole. But start where you are. So with every advancement, you start where you are and then you start growing from there. So got my foot in the door, felt like, you know, this might be it. This might be it. And music and all of that was still part of my life, but it wasn't on the forefront. You know, the proverbial choir, solo, funeral party, all of that, of course. But that wasn't my business track. So when I got in the door at E.F. Hutton, I really liked it. Took me about 6 months to get acclimated because it was like I was in a world of people speaking a different language because I just had no experience with that. So it took about 6 months to sort of get acclimated to that environment and really started learning about it. And then thought that, you know what, I think I like this and I think I should learn everything I can learn. So I did, went back to school, got my degrees. And really went into the financial planning concept after doing the back office and the administrative tasks and operations and all of that that go along with running an office. And then came out of the cage, as we called it, which is where all the back office stuff took place, and came out and started dealing with clients and really liked it. And then, of course, that came after the college degrees and the education that goes along that would qualify me to do that. But
right,
then really started liking it, you know, and really thought that I could make an impact not only for my financial future, but for theirs as well. So, and that's really what started the career path. So now all these years later,
mm-hmm.
I've been dealing with clients for a very long time. And
wow.
It is a good feeling to know that you have made someone else's life. Yeah. Yeah, because let's face it, we have to deal with the affairs of men, and the affairs of men includes money. We can be as godly as we want to be. We can be as spiritual as we want to be, but it does take money to make things work while we're here on earth. And it is indeed a good feeling to help others be financially successful because we do have to deal with that while we're here. So, and all these years later, you know, I'm still doing it.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because here you are now, you know, you didn't give up. You kept your focus, you kept the glass half full, and you created a plan, which I think is key here. So many of us do not do that point, and that's, you know, a way to keep you accountable to yourself. We talk a lot about being accountable to others, but you really do have to be accountable to yourself and to come into agreement with what God's word says for your life and come in agreement with yourself. But this is what we're going to do, you know. And so now you're a successful financial planner. What does that entail? You know, what is the type of work that you actually do? If I was going to come into one of your sessions and sit down and glean from you, what are some of the things that you would be tackling?
Well, always start with a plan. And this is the crazy thing about it. Money doesn't always have to do with money per se, because we all have attitudes about money, how we save, how we spend, what we want, you know, how much we want to earn, and all those things. Don't always have to do with the money specifically, but how we were raised and what our ideals are. So when I meet with a client, the first thing that I say, tell me about yourself. Tell me how you got where you are and what is your dream for the future, and what are you doing to sort of move you toward what you want to do. And that's the key part. We have to map out a plan, and it really doesn't have in the beginning anything to do with money per se. But of course, we know that money influences everything. But then after we get down where you are, how much you earn, how much you spend, how much money you have in savings, or how much do you not have in savings, when do you want to retire, how many children do you have, what are your obligations and liabilities every month. And sadly to say, a lot of people can't tell you that because they don't know. Well, I do have a company retirement plan, but I don't really know how much money's in it, and I don't know how it works and all of that. Well, that's the wrong answer. We have to know where we are, because you can't make a change, you can't make a plan if you don't know where you are. And it doesn't matter really where you are, but you have to have that starting point, because you can't plan from thin air. You have to know where you are. So in our meetings with ourselves and holding ourselves accountable, I think that is so critical. We have to know what we want. We have to know what we're good at. We have to know what we have to work with. And most, I'd say often, it's not what we have to work with is not necessarily money. It can be gifts and talents. It can be resources. It can be connections in your network, because all of those things have a value to it. So if you don't have the money to do something that you want to do, you may know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that can help you get the plan together to do it. So that's the primary thing. Know where you are. And then once you know where you are with all of your finances and all of your thoughts and dreams and all of that, then you can start planning what you want to do differently. Because baby boomers, I tell you, life expectancies are longer than they were 50 years ago. So many times 50 years ago, people would retire at 62 or 65 and be dead 3 years later. That's no longer the case with the improved health care. The average life expectancy is well into the 80s now. So if you retire at 65 and you live to be 85, that is a long time that your money has to last you. If you don't plan for that, then you're going to run short. So all of those things come into making a plan. And it will eventually come to how much money it takes to make all of that happen, but that's not necessarily step one. And then every day and every decision that's made should line up with where you're going.
Well, you know, I can agree with you 100%. I, you know, shared with you that this show started just from a passion, just from a dream to try to encourage other hearts, other people. And I didn't have the wherewithal. I didn't even know where to begin. And I found out how to do this with a phone, you know, on the internet. And it started with 15 minutes for free, and then it went to half an hour, and then to an hour, and then I was on a local station, and now, you know, it's being syndicated out. And so if I never started with the dream, it would have just dried up and died. And so you have to act on what has been given to you. And that goes back to what you were saying earlier about the gifts and the talents, you have another great quote that you've got to share about the rate of return when we're talking about the things of the Lord and what we should expect.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Bible talks about the talents. The person who had one talent dug a hole and put it in the ground because he was afraid he was going to lose it and wanted to hold on to it. And if you have one talent, you put it in the ground and you have one talent left, you have a zero rate of return. And I just don't believe that God has given us the gifts and talents that he's entrusted us with to get a zero rate of return. So that's sort of how my music came back into the equation. You know, as I said, I've always sang, but didn't really do anything with it past the proverbial choir and all of that. But when the timing was right in 2008, I released my first commercially released album and had 4 top 10 hits on Inspirational Radio.
Wow.
So all of that singing and all of that stuff leading up to that point was simply in preparation. So like you, you start with 15 minutes, you start with what you have, you start where you are, and then you build from there. And you are a prime example of that. You start with 15, you figure out how to do it, you learn as you go. And this is applicable across the board. It doesn't matter if it's music or radio or writing. If you want to write a book, you have to actually write. And if it is one sentence a day, then you write one sentence a day until you can work it up into a paragraph, until you can work it up into a page or two, and then a chapter, and then so on. But we have to start where we are.
Exactly. That's wonderful advice. And I think it's the type of advice that's simple enough for you to listen. It takes courage to take those first steps. It's a lot of courage to really, you know, trust God and what he's saying to you, but you really have to believe. So now
you really do.
You have a book that's coming out, Poised, Prepared, and in Hot Pursuit. What is that going to provide, and how, you know, tell us how we can get our hands on it?
It will be out, hopefully, within the next few months. And that book really is how to become poised and prepared for the pursuit, because there is a process. We have to know where we are. We have to know where we're going before we can make the steps to get there. But I think a mistake that a lot of people make, they start with the pursuit. They have an idea, and then they just start pursuing without doing the homework. And most of the work for successful businesses, whether it's a restaurant or a clothing store or a book that you're writing or whatever it is, most of the work goes on when nobody knows you're doing it. It's like even a pop star that you see just sort of shows up one day and they have all of these accolades and win all of these awards, and you say, my goodness, they're an overnight success. Well, no, not really, because they've been working on that overnight success for 30 years. You know,
exactly.
So it's the same process. You're preparing and you're becoming poised. And in that meeting with yourself, you know, the honest meeting, no holds barred with yourself, you have to evaluate, do you know what you're saying? Do you know what it's going to take to get where you're going? And then once you evaluate all of that and you get poised and you are comfortable with what you are getting ready to prepare to pursue, and you've thought about all of the things, all the financial requirements that it's going to take, the emotional requirements, the other resources, the less family time, all the things that factor into that. Once you have all of that, that's actually poised. And then you start the steps to prepare. Then you pursue.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, you cannot walk into the bank. I say this all the time because people say, this is my passion, this is my passion. I talk to people all the time about it. This is what I know the Lord has told me to do. I believe it. This is my passion. This is what I'm going to bring out of my mouth is, okay, well, let's talk about how you are poised and prepared for that. Oh, well, God is my business plan. Well, sister, let me tell you, you can walk into the bank and say that all day long, that God is my business plan, and these people are going to think you're crazy, and you're not going to have a good banking relationship when God is my business plan. Now, you and I know that God is our business plan. However, we have to deal with the affairs of men, and the affairs of men and banks and other resources, we have to have a written plan. And that poised and prepared helps us do that.
Absolutely. You know, you talk a lot about passion, and I just want to take some time, because our time is going so quickly, to talk about one of your other passions, because your life has taken a certain type of a journey. You know, we all start with our own personal story in terms of, no matter what we do, it starts with us. But then it should evolve, this the spiritual self, the professional self. And this came from you, your own 360. And the final part of that is charity. Now, when you say charity, what do you mean? And tell me how you got involved with young girls who are a part of the human trafficking and the process of getting them out of that and your work with that. Talk to us about that for a few moments.
Well, I do believe that too much is given, much is required. And in our own personal 360-degree success to make us a complete, whole, best that we can be, it is personal, professional, spiritual, and then that fourth component is charity. And charity in numerous languages is translated as love. So if we are in our spiritual walk, you know, commanded to love God and to love others as ourselves, I believe that that does have a charity component, and we do have to give back. This world is not only about taking and doing what's good for us. It is sharing what we've been blessed with. And it doesn't always mean money. It means giving of yourself, encouraging, mentoring. So one of the charities that I support is an organization who rescues and restores underage girls who have been caught in sex trafficking. And, you know, while we may think that's a third world issue, it is very much an issue in the United States. Atlanta is one of the very top cities for trafficking of underage girls. And, you know, I believe that when we strengthen girls, we build strong women for the future. And the organization that I support rescues those girls and restores them. And it goes back to that plan. It's not just what we see right this moment. It's not rescuing the girls and getting them off the street, although that's part of it. The restoration part, when you take somebody from something that they know, you have to show them a better way to do things, and you have to encourage them along the way. So charities that I support, because I do believe that when we strengthen girls, we strengthen the future of not only our homes, but our communities, our states, our world.
You know, it's also what I'm hearing as I'm listening to your whole story. It's also 360 in a way. You know, when you were 16 and out there on your own, you could have easily had been, you know, snatched up by someone and taken into this lifestyle, you know, and to know that God's grace was on your life, and that you had parents that were supportive and did keep their hands in your life. And these horrific things happen to these girls right here, like you said, on our turf. I'm in New York City. It's happening here. And it needs to come to an end. And part of the reason is, part of the way of doing that is to, one, shed light that it is happening and that it is happening in our cities. So I really thank you for just, you know, caring enough to wanting to be a part of a message like this and getting out it out there, what are some ways that people can support Wellspring?
Wellspring Living is an organization in Atlanta. They're housed in Atlanta, but they mentor other organizations across the world. And I believe that we should support organizations that are in our city. So for people who are outside the Atlanta area and, you know, pick a charity, pick an organization that you believe in, and ask them how you can support them. I do not have direct contact with the girls. I support from an outer rim,
right?
Because they are in safe houses and they have therapists and
right.
and the professionally qualified people to help them work through their issues. So there are many layers that most nonprofit and charity organizations have. But what we can do is spread awareness. Because everything begins with knowledge. If we don't know that we don't know that we don't know, we can't do anything
mm-hmm.
about it. But then once we start spreading that word and letting people know about it, because so many people had no idea that Atlanta's the number one city in the United States.
I had no idea. I learned that in talking with you. I really had no idea.
Yeah. And I had no idea either. Right.
You know. So
I know, and then you go online and you say, right. You say, oh, my goodness, I had no idea. So we don't know what we don't know. So we have to be informed. And I just believe that when we are successful.
No, go ahead.
Well, just as productive, successful people, it's not about us all the time. It's about paying it forward.
Right. Definitely. And I saw one of the young girls who had graduated from the program on YouTube, and her story was just so touching, and what she had been through, and then the way she was able to turn it around and graduate and be a completely different person, restored from all the things that she'd been through. And to know that there are organizations out there who are doing this, it's something to get behind, and it's worth our dollars, and it's worth our time. And like you said, there are many different ways that we can probably shed our gifts and talents. Our time is going. We've got a matter of 2 minutes. Tell people where they can find you and connect with you, whether it's, you know, the financial planning, your books, your music. How can they get their hands on it?
Thank you. The easiest way is my website, which is DeborahHightower.com. The social media buttons are there. My blog links are there. So social media. I do put little snippets and nuggets of information and words of encouragement, because I think we all need words of encouragement. I know I do every day.
Absolutely. We can't make it without it. I look at the things people share every day, and trust me, it makes a difference. You made a difference tonight. Thank you so much for being a guest on Don't Give Up.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so amazed at how God makes these connections each and every week. And next week, we have another special young woman who's going to share with us. She is a wife. She is a mother. And for reasons beyond her control, she is temporarily doing it on her own. Her story is very unique, and I urge you to check out my Facebook page. You simply go to Don't Give Up Radio on Facebook. You have to have that radio on there, and you will see who this very special guest is, and you will be able to tune into her story. Until next week, I want you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all gave his life for you. He said you were worth it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't let him down. Be your best. He showed you love, and you can continue to spread that love to others.
There was no light, and I couldn't see. Storm clouds over me. Put your arms around.